This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 273, where we're live from Ignite with Julia White.
I like the way that sounded. Live from Ignite with Julia White.
It's almost like we planned it that way.
Well, we kind of did.
So what day are we on? This is Thursday.
Thursday?
Yep. Yeah. 4 days in. How are you feeling?
Like I was just getting confused on my days. I didn't know if it was Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday yet.
Well, for us...
I feel good.
For us, it's the last day, I think.
It is.
You're heading out tonight. I'm out first thing in the morning, but there's some more activities going on tomorrow, as I understand.
It's been a great week. I mean, it's packed full of stuff. It's always high energy, sucks a lot of energy out of you. You're just moving so much, but that's great. It's been great.
I got my session done. Had it on at lunchtime about AKS and Kubernetes and building Hyperfish on Azure and things, so... It's nice to have that all out of the way. Yep. Demos worked. The demo gods were with me. Everything was great.
I was at a reception last night, and I remember you were on your way over to it, and I turned around and looked, and you kind of got close to it and realized, like, nope, I think I want to work on my demos. Just, oh, you're doing an about face go, and I got a text a minute later. I'm like, I get it, man.
I got all the way there and decided I need to work on my demos, and I'm very glad I did.
Yep.
So tonight is the big night of the event, the party at Universal.
The big Universal party,
You're not going to make it, unfortunately, but...
Well, this is just down the road for me, so I'm not too rare of coming down to one of the parks down in Orlando, and... fighting Orlando traffic and fighting the I-4 traffic, getting up the I-4 corridor, I wouldn't mind trying to get home by 10 o'clock tonight so I don't have to sit there and do it. I got an early appointment tomorrow morning back home, and I was like, yeah, I'll try and knock it out tonight.
Yeah. Good safe travels home.
Yeah, you're going to go to the party, though.
I am. I'm going to try and go and make myself violently ill on Harry Potter.
Yeah. That's a great idea, you have an early flight tomorrow, too.
It always gets the better of me, that flight. Yep. Hey, so you've been super busy. You've been running around doing some more interviews for the show, and that'll be coming out over the next week or two, I guess.
Yeah, about the next 2 weeks or so, yeah. We got some great interviews with a couple of guys from the OneDrive and SharePoint team, and Aaron Rimmer and Adam Harmitz. We got another interview that we did with Brandon Burns with Kubernetes, where your session was about today. So did that, and we've had a great show so far. A lot of stuff. I get curious from you. What's like a big takeaway you have from Ignite? Like, what? It could be a content thing, it could be a news thing, it could be a logistics thing, it could be the ice cream is absolutely incredible. Like, you got a big takeaway?
Yeah, I always focus on the expo hall. I don't go to that many sessions. I go to a few, but for me, just seeing the partners all together, all the new vendors, the new people that are showing products that really blow my mind. And so I don't think there's any one in particular, but just seeing that vibrancy around the ecosystem is really exciting to me.
Yeah, and for me, it really was the logistics of how they put the event on. I mean, first of all, from the podcasting side, the crew has done from this stage over here to a little pop-up booth and another pop-up stage over there. It's watching them level this up. I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday is a big deal, but the thing that's a big takeaway for me is that this conference is bigger than it was last year, but it doesn't feel that way. It actually feels much more like, it doesn't feel bigger in the terms of there's more people, but everything, it feels smaller in the sense that everything is more localized, but it doesn't feel packed. There's no choke points. The logistics are great. You can tell that, not only is this the fourth year that they've been running Ignite, but it's the second year at the same space. And this is night and day better than it was last year. Yeah, last year was not bad.
Yeah.
I don't mean like that, definitely. But they've really done a lot of stuff to step up their game this year.
It's gone super well. And it's really great to see.
Yeah.
But hey, we've got great guest on the show this week.
It's kind of funny because how this has come about, because you have a bit of a history with our guest.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I sort of used to work for her.
Yes.
When I was at Microsoft, Julia was in the office team, and I worked on the dev relations and ecosystem side of things, and reported to Julia for a while. So
we have something in common then, is that I understand now how she had to leave and went to go over to Azure, because after working with you now for so many days on this podcast, we had to eventually. I mean, it's only going to last so long here. So I'm waiting to the NBC News has called me one or two times to pick up their thing or something.
No, well, I certainly wouldn't want to be tarred with that brush, but. Julia has a ton to do with Ignite.
Yes.
So why don't we get up here? Let's talk about Ignite. So Julia is a corporate vice president in Azure.
Struggling to reproduce problems in your code base? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring, unlike anything you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users, and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality. Try Raygun free at raygun.com today. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
And welcome to the show, Julia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walking over there.
Sorry to put you on the spot. So thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, Chris. Yeah. So glad to be here.
Yeah, we just noticed that you're keeping up with appearances with your shoe choice this year as well.
You like that? Yeah.
I think it's becoming a trend.
Well, I'm kind of trying to keep up reputation. It was used to be about jackets, and then I had my shoes.
Oh, you switched off the jackets. Fair enough.
Somewhere or another.
Hey, so welcome. Fourth Ignite. First time on the Cloud Show.
Yes, I know. I'm long overdue, obviously.
We've been saving ourselves. There
you go. I see. Okay. Well, thanks for inviting me this time. Yeah.
So you have a long history with Ignite.
You've been
involved right from the very beginning.
Yes.
So how did this all come to be? Because you were involved right in the very sort of formation of the show.
I remember the day there was like four of us sat together and we had this idea of what this event could be and the reformation of it. And because we had different events over the years, the SharePoint conference and TechEd, and we had brought back the Exchange conference, yep. I remember. And yep. we just like kind of stepped back and like the really bringing these communities together is what we wanted to do. And that was the genesis of how do we make it really community centered and have a lot of kind of crossover across that. And so we said, let's just start fresh. Mm-hmm. And we envisioned this thing called Ignite.
Seems to be working.
So far, so good, right?
Yeah, it's great. Well, there's something for everybody here, right? There's, if you're in the productivity side, there's a lot of great stuff going on there. Azure side, obviously, you're very heavily involved with. We'll dig into that in a little bit more.
Sure.
And then also on the Windows side, too. So there's loads of stuff. Good stuff going on. Yeah. But are you technically the host of Ignite?
I don't know exactly sure how I got that. But
So you stand up and introduce the keynoters and do all sorts of demos and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, because again, this is really our envisioned to be a great community gathering. And so it just helps, I think, to have a human.
Corralling the
versus
troops.
And I think so many times that Microsoft's the company, but I'm like, no, it's a bunch of people.
Yeah,
and
right.
so my hope in having the host role is just to humanize us.
Yeah,
and it's just make it a person you can relate to versus just in an event.
It's funny you say that too, because in one of the interviews we did earlier today, we talked about how the community and how Microsoft, how the last few years really has shown how it doesn't feel so much like it's different paychecks. It feels like everyone we're all kind of working together. And it just happens to be that you guys are the ones building stuff that we're going to use and we're going to take advantage of. But it really feels like it's much more of a collaborative effort than it is of a company just providing things for us to use.
No, that's great to hear. I also think a lot that has to do with the cloud.
Yes. Right?
It's not like we're just servers and office boxes anymore. Mm-hmm. Like we really are co-developing so many things now because of the cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So what does that mean on a day-to-day basis here? Do you have to run around and spend all day in a meeting room, or do you get to go make sure stuff's running smoothly, or do you wine and dine important customers?
You would be surprised. I think everything you listed, yes. So there's a lot of hope. I mean, the best part of it is walking around and meeting people and finding out what they're learning, why they're here, what was good, what was bad. So that's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. Spent as much time doing that. But meeting with lots of customers. I did 4 different sessions, including the keynote with Scott Guthrie on Azure, and then talking with press, of course, to go through the gauntlet of things we released.
The Book of News, I think it was called.
The Book
right?
of News. I call it really kind of the Book of Azure News. Let's be real.
It was a tough.
Yeah, really. That's pretty fair.
And I see evening events, parties, yes. And then, of course, Universal tonight.
Yeah.
So. It seems to be going super well. This year is obviously extremely well organized, and I think it's a real testament to having done it a few times as well, and things have definitely gotten great.
I've been so happy to hear three pieces of feedback. 1, the rooms weren't too cold. 2, the food's better. And 3, the logistics have been much better, less walking. So I was like, all right, we figured it out.
It's the small things, isn't it?
It makes a difference.
Yeah, that's cool. One of the big themes, too, that we've noticed that's is big at Ignite this year is the diversity side.
Yeah.
And before it was a lot of women in tech, and now it's a much bigger thing. And I'm curious about this. As somebody who, as a father who has a daughter, CJ, in the same boat, she's shown some interest in it in tech. And I'm curious, what would your advice be to someone that is, as a father or someone who's trying to help someone who's trying to get into it and finding some kind of frustrations or kind of challenges that maybe some of those kind of barriers are maybe artificial barriers that are there.
Yeah, right? No, I think a couple of things, and I also just love that you guys asked this question because dads play such an incredibly important role mm-hmm. for young girls mm-hmm. and what's okay and what's normal and what's acceptable. And so, you know, when I have a daughter as well, and when she was going through middle school math, and she was like, she was very good at it, but she kind of was a little bit funny about it. And I sat down with the teacher, and he's like, yeah, you know, in this age, sometimes boys don't think smart girls are cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, that's still that social aspect. And so having dads who think it's cool can really help and normalize that and make, like being great at math, being great at science is awesome. And it makes you a better girl, not like, you know, something, an obscure one.
Right,
so I think
right.
Just normalizing that piece of it. And then also I think girls do sometimes learn differently. And I think so supporting that, getting outside of classroom assistance in math and sciences to let them learn in the ways that they want to learn can help them feel more confident in the classroom and with their peers as well. So they don't feel like, oh, I'm the one who doesn't get it and I don't want to ask questions and right. be an outlier. So I think that right. can make a big difference too.
Well, and it's been really nice too to see that like the whole section over on the expo floor about the diversity and focus and seeing how popular that is, seeing how many people that are over there, how much activity is over in that area. I mean, it's nice. Before we'd see it different conferences at different places when it was becoming more of an issue that people wanted to focus on. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like a luncheon or something, but it's neat to kind of see it's much more like kind of in the open and involved with everybody being in.
I do feel like this year, and it's reflective of Microsoft's evolution too, we've gone from just diversity, which is of course important, but really to inclusion.
Yeah.
And that's a deeper level. Mm-hmm. It's a more meaningful level, and it's broader too. Mm-hmm. And so I think our approach this year, you know, hopefully reflects it. We're being inclusive of inclusivity. So it's not just about women in tech.
Yeah.
It's about women in tech and their allies. It's about mental health awareness. It's about different strategies around different kinds of diversity. So I think, and it's really about ultimately making sure everyone's heard and everyone's voice is recognized. And so I think that's where we've tried to do that here. And that's certainly what we're trying to do inside the company as well.
Well, and it helps too, because the people who may not be, where that may not have been a forethought in a lot of people's minds, and they were thinking about women in technology, but then when they see these other things going, this is a lot more than just women in tech. There's a lot more to this whole thing. So it's nice that people are taking notice of that too.
Right. And those inclusive behaviors of really listening to each other and really acknowledging that and valuing other opinions helps all, you know, helps women, helps everything. You know, it's not just it's not like there's different techniques. It turns out those behaviors and those activities are broadly helpful.
Yep. So it permeates through the whole fabric of our industry, I guess.
Absolutely. And we all need to do more.
Now, we've also seen and heard a ton of great news coming out. You are on stage announcing a whole plethora of great new things. But I'd like to run through some of your, I guess, hot button areas or topics or what have you that you think are really topical at Ignite and also topical for Microsoft. So the ones that I picked up on were around security and hybrid and data and AI and IoT as well. So you know, starting at the top of that, security. We heard about recent efforts around, I think it's called Microsoft Account Guard, is that right? With the Microsoft working with organizations and campaigns that are running for office and keeping their email secure and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Are there any sort of areas in that you're particularly excited about this week?
One of my favorites, actually, it's the evolution of our intelligent security graph. And it's actually an idea a few of us conceived several years ago of like, gosh, we have all this security signal coming from endpoints, coming from email, coming from identity, Active Directory, and Azure. Gosh, what if we wove this together into a graph, applied AI, that we could then turn the tables on the bad guys in a way, right? Because we have this incredible both diversity of signal as well as depth of signal. And so we started doing it internally, and then now we're at the point where we've opened up that API for others to tap into as well. So, and to me, at the end of the day, security is kind of a data game. Who's got better data and insight?
Right.
And this is, you know, the features and the protectionary, you know, things like firewall and other things we've done are great. But man, the security incel, that graph, to me, I think the industry is going to improve because of it.
Yeah, right. There's more visibility into that kind of stuff. The rising tides are going. Everyone's going to get better and stronger security and much more locked down and fight the bad guys a heck of a lot better. So these things are going to happen a lot more infrequently.
Yeah, and to the point of a lot, it has to be done at an industry level, right? It's just not one of us are going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we're taking a very industry partner centric, working with as many other vendors who will work with us on this so that we can all get better. Mm-hmm. It isn't, you know, it's kind of a little bit of an open source orientation towards addressing security problems.
Yeah, you don't want the weakest link letting everybody down.
Yeah, so right. And we all, you know, there's a hack, it hurts all of us.
Yeah,
right. Right. Yes. You notice, at least from our perspective, you notice now when there's either a breach or a hack in one of the large companies involved in the cloud, you don't see them throwing stones at each other.
Yeah.
No.
And,
no.
And there's probably a very good reason for that, right? But they all want to help each other out, which is great to see.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know, when everyone has an outage and anyone has a security issue, we're all in this together. Yeah.
Now, we saw you up on stage demoing some very cool new things around virtualization and Windows a couple of days ago.
Yep.
Very much aligned with the hybrid movement. So would you mind spending a little bit of time on that, and why is Microsoft doing this? What's driven it, and what the offer looks like?
Yeah, so what we announced, and I got the chance to demo, is Windows Virtualized Virtual Desktop. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not a new technology necessarily, not a new area, but it's one where there's just a lot of customer need, and people want that full fidelity, rich Windows experience, but in virtualized container, right?
Yep.
And so we can do that. We can give you that full Windows experience, run it on Azure, and then even doing additional things to make Office 365 really optimized for that experience. So what I showed was how quick it is to set up with Azure, kind of five steps, just like setting up a VM, basically. Mm-hmm. Create your environment, and then on the Surface Go, showed it has Ink, it has Touch, it has the voice, or the microphone, so it's using all the local hardware, and then flip it over, show the same thing on an iPad, and you have that, so it's a great user experience, and it just is a much simpler administrator experience around it.
Yeah.
So is the idea then that, say, large company that's got ancient hardware doesn't necessarily have to replace it, but could move their desktop workloads to Azure instead?
Yes, run them there.
Give them decent processors, loads more memory, much more productive experience.
Yeah, and use it for a whole range. Actually, one of the things we're going to use it internally is for all of our home PCs, for all the employees who want to log in and access from their home PC, but maybe don't want it fully managed, because right now if you log in, you get to be fully managed. And so instead of that, you can option is to use Windows Virtual Desktop.
Oh, that's
so
really cool.
I think you'll see it show up in a lot of different use cases. There'll be certainly those of that older hardware, but I think it's also just in some ways a modern way to work for different use cases.
Well, I've noticed in the last couple of years, I've moved my personal dev box with all my tools and all that, I no longer have on my PC. I just have it up in a VM in Azure.
Ah.
And one of the great things is I can log in from anywhere and start writing code. And so I imagine, employees for companies that they're not so set up for remote access. Let's say they might be sort of old school. And so something like that would really open up the ability for them work from anywhere.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But still in a nice environment that IT is comfortable with.
Yeah, managing. And it's not a suboptimal user experience. You really get a good, rich user experience too.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of companies that can't do that too. The smaller businesses can't set up those kinds of things. You need specialized hardware or specialized desktops certain apps have certain configurations that don't work well with others. I mean, it makes it easy in having a small business opening up their network to have them, remote access in, and then making them another point back to the security thing, giving them another point of attack that they may not be as aware as how to lock that down and secure.
Yeah. It's
not
really been
VPNs and all
the
that.
Customer feedback was just around the complexity of doing VDI and managing all that environment. And so that was really the focus on how do we make this simple, simple, simple.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
One of the other cool announcements we saw was around Cosmos DB and the ability to do these multi-master writes, which seems like science fiction.
I was about to say science fiction, right?
Or it's been one of these sort of computer science problems since the dawn of time.
Right.
But it's amazing when you put a bunch of people together in a room and they can figure something out.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting for me, just as a developer, seeing those new sort of hyperscale databases and massive amounts of data.
Yep.
But I think the most underrated announcement, I wouldn't say it was played down, but it certainly didn't get the standing ovation I expected, was the Azure Data Explorer.
I know, and I called that. I was like, people, once they're going to see the demo, they're going to hear about this, and they're going to go, huh, and then they're going to try it, and they're going to mine's going to explode, right?
Yeah.
So the story of that is that's what we built to run and do analytics on our cloud services across the company. Mm. And it's actually the engine or the platform underlying like Azure Log Analytics and our App Insights, but it's this incredibly powerful platform that you can literally do anything almost and get the visualization even right there online. You don't have to port it out or anything of that sort. So it was actually through some kind of customers we were working with, and they got access to it, and they're like, you need to ship this. there's a quote, one of our big customers are like, we were only going to stay on Azure if you ship this. Right?
Right on it.
Yeah, I know. And so it's something, it's actually a very mature technology, though, being a new service, because again, we've been using it inside for a long time, and now it's finally delivered as a service for customers. So I think this thing's going to light people on fire.
It just blew my mind that you could import so much data and query it without needing to worry about the intricacies of your data format and the indexing and all that kind of stuff. Just It blew my mind. I can't wait to play with
fast.
It.
There was a text thread going between CJ and I, and we weren't watching it together. We were seeing it at the same time, and it popped up. We saw it, and I was like, God, it was like a billion records in 17 seconds. I got ingested into that. And then he goes a couple of queries, and they were instant queries or something really complex for like 5 seconds.
Right.
It was a very colorful text thread that we had back and forth between us. And then you hear the applause, and we're like, I don't think people understood what they just saw. That's incredible.
Right.
That's a game changer. Nobody else is doing that.
No one can touch that thing. Yeah. It's one where I'm like, it's going to start to brew, bubble up, and we'll see some excitement.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Now, so there was an announcement that I must admit I didn't fully completely understand. So maybe you can enlighten us. But there was this thing called Azure Digital Twins. Now, this is not something out of Blade Runner, is it? Is this?
not actually yet, but it still makes your head hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
true.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the concept of a digital twin has been kind of understood in the industrial IoT world, and this idea that I have a digital representation of my physical environment.
I see.
And, you know, where it's Genesis is more around manufacturing and some kind of plant floor, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But what we've done is take that concept and bring it into more mainstream use cases. But if you step back for a second, it's essentially taking any physical environment or physical thing and creating a digital equivalent of it. Mm. But it not just a static thing, it actually understands relationships. We talk about the people, the places, the things, the relationship, which actually makes it interesting. Because you can have an IoT device pinging over here or an IoT camera over here, but the interaction with people and the environment around it are actually really, really important.
Gotcha.
In terms of utilization or optimization or planning around it. And some of the scenarios we've started with, because it just makes sense and it's broadly useful, is in space. So whether it be an office space or a commercial or a mall or any kind of space in terms of...
Actually space.
A building, like a space like this building. not outer space, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I should have. That's next. Inner space. And thinking about room flow optimization, energy, heating, all those kind of things. And again, you can say, hey, at 7 p.m., turn off the lights and the heat. It's a very blunt instrument versus actually being able to use a digital equivalence to see what the flow is, what the activity is, and do real time both analysis of it and then actions against it using event-driven workflows. So early, but we have a lot of partners already building solutions on top of this because it has so much potential.
Yeah, I can imagine trying to replicate environments and manufacturing must be super hard. And so you can see why doing it digitally would make sense.
We're actually doing digital twin of our data centers to help us do better optimization and planning around our data centers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Inbox Zero is a thing of the past. We're all so inundated with email, and that's where Sanebox comes in. Think of it as an EMT for your email. As messages flow in, Sanebox does the triage for you. Sane Later sifts all distracting stuff out of your inbox so you can focus on only the important emails. That's just a taste. It also has nifty features like Sane Black Hole and Sane Reminders. Best of all, you can use Sanebox with any email client or phone, anywhere you check your email. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit sanebox.com/MSCloudShow. Start your free trial and get a $25 credit.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, workflows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No-code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC.
Another one that I had a hard time getting my brain wrapped around, this one, was Azure Sphere.
Okay.
And was curious if you'd just talk a little bit about that and what
this
is.
Yeah, so Azure Sphere, it is IoT capability around the MCU class of device. So MCU devices are actually make up the largest number of shipped devices, so 9 billion MCU devices a year, MCU chips shipped a year. So it's massive, huge. And this is actually started about 3 years ago, and we started seeing MCUs growing and the capability of them growing. And we looked and we're like, those things are not secure. And the people shipping MCU class devices don't know anything about security. They just don't. And so we were hearing about the baby monitor getting hacked and the thermostat. Yeah. That's that class of device. So it was a beautiful Microsoft story where the guy behind this said, well, gosh, we know a lot about what could help. So he got the insights from the Xbox team and the silicon on the chip from the Xbox, because, you know, we had to work really hard to over the years, many years, to get to the place where the Xbox couldn't get hacked, the kind of the silicone layer. So came up with a design for that, used OS security from our Windows team, but took the security insights of securing an OS, but applied it to a Linux kernel, built the OS, a specific Linux-based OS for it, and then worked with us on the Azure side to say, we need a cloud-based security model and, you know, update it and manage and patch it. And so it's the combination of those three things. Huh. So it's actually a design kit for the silicone and then the security service and the OS that come together to make Azure Sphere. So it's companies like Sub-Zero will be shipping that in, you know, their Wolf stoves and their refrigerators, as an example, but other manufacturers coming online as well to make sure, I mean, the incredibly secure, managed MCU class device.
It'd be awful if my fridge was hacked. So it'd be terrible. Milk could go off and all sorts of things.
Yeah. We laugh about that. We're like, you know, what if someone could hack your stove and you could do something?
Set your house on fire.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you don't want to think about that. But how pervasive these chips are going, they're going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of stories about, especially webcams and things and various devices, used a lot of standard chips from various places that would have little back doors in them and stuff. So this stuff is becoming more prevalent in people's homes.
Yeah.
And I know as I put more devices in my house, I'm sure my wife sits there and goes, about this?
Right. Yeah. I know. Really? Yeah. And again, like those, you know, people shipping refrigerators and thermostats aren't security experts.
Right.
And so it was an important thing for us to help the industry, frankly.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a very cool initiative. I'm looking forward to seeing what appliance I get first that has this involved.
I know. I'm actually, you know, we remodel my kitchen. I was like, I'm only buying Azure Sphere technologies.
There you go.
Does it have the little special sticker or something like that?
Exactly.
It's like the Energy Star, but it's Azure Sphere.
Sphere inside or something. Anyway. Now, Azure Stack is a very exciting technology, I think, for a number of reasons. Historically, you know, when Microsoft gets something in its vision, it goes all in, right? That's a terrible phrase, isn't it? Yep. But all in on that, right? And we saw the move to the cloud. Microsoft was fully focused on it for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And Azure Stack seemed to me like a great step back from that to say, you're going to get there, but until you do, we can still help you. And we'll help you get to the cloud. But we realize it's going to take you a few years.
I see.
There's compliance and all sorts of things that these industries people are in.
Yeah.
And Azure Stack seems like a really exciting... We interviewed Jeffrey Snover about this a little while back.
Yeah.
But it's just a great technology for customers to get on board with parts of Azure. Mm-hmm. And I think this week we saw some new announcements around things like blockchain in Azure Stack and Kubernetes. Something near and dear to my heart. So. Yep. Where do you think Azure Stack is going long term in terms of, are you trying to replicate all of Azure, and you want them to get there eventually, right?
Of course. But actually, the genesis of Azure Stack is a little bit different, but it can certainly be used as a stepping stone to Azure. But the design principle around it was really as using complement with Azure. For say you can using clear example would be like Ernst & Young, who has their auditing application running in Azure. But in certain countries, they need to be able to run that application locally and keep all the data local. And so they don't have to write a new app. They can just use the same app, same API, same services, right? Run an Azure Stack and keep things local. So that's a great example of it really is meant to be kind of use in concert.
Complement
to it. Yeah. And people can use Azure Stack for lots of things. And in some cases, like modernizing a mainframe application when you physically have to have those systems co-located.
Gotcha.
It's a great example of that. And then on their journey to Azure. So it is being used in lots of ways. But it was always envisioned to be an extension of Azure on the journey. There's use cases that will require things to be remote and disconnected. And you've heard us talk a lot about intelligent cloud, intelligent edge, and what that is. And to me, it's, you know, Azure Stack plays a really key role of kind of there's this cloud and then there's this edge that used to be your data center and is getting smaller and smaller, and then there's these IoT devices that are getting bigger and more powerful, and pretty soon they all kind of are in a continuum effectively of compute distributed everywhere. And then Azure and Azure Stack give you kind of options for your cloud role in that, like if you're connecting to big Azure, or I'm in a remote and disconnected scenario, or I have special compliance requirements, I can have that same cloud role, but it can be run in an Azure Stack. So that's the broad genesis, the broad idea around it. In terms of, we'll continue to bring new services to it. We're really, really trying to be customer-centric on what people want, the use cases, because it is one of the things we built and no one's ever done it before, and wanted to listen and see what do people want to do with it, and then let's orient our roadmap around that. So letting, you know, Kubernetes clusters now or blockchain and use cases that make sense. I don't think we'll probably ever have all of the services because I just don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, sure.
But you'll see us continue to, you know, burn down that list for sure.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
And we announced a slightly bigger one too. So, you know, allowing for different use cases here.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I saw somebody in the back of their car in a video.
Oh yeah, we ruggedized one, yeah.
Is that in the back expo hall over
yeah,
here?
Yeah, the SUV in there.
Oh, very cool.
Right over the SharePoint booth.
Disaster relief.
Yeah.
Keep looking over my shoulder seeing that. I was like, that thing's awesome.
I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So one of the other things we heard about was a new initiative around learning and how people engage with Microsoft around learning about technology and things like that. Would you spend some time going into what's new around that area?
Yes. And I mean, there's so much new to learn about using the cloud. And then, by the way, we keep shipping hundreds of things to the cloud, to Azure, Office 365. I mean, it's a time in this industry where things are moving very quickly from an innovation perspective. So the yearning and the request for more learning, more readiness, more skills building has been so high. So we kind of stepped back as a company and said, let's build a learning platform that we can continue to provide this kind of always on, always current, bite-sized digital learning capability. Mm-hmm. So that was what we built with Microsoft Learn. So it's a broad learning platform. What we've launched this week is a whole bunch of Azure skills and Azure kind of learning paths. Yep. And what we also tried to do is string together the right set of capabilities and say, hey, you want to learn about building this type of application. Here's the right kind of different classes to take or the different things to go through. Oh, so they're in coherent order. You don't have to wonder if you got all the right pieces. Like, nope, this is the thing you need. So great learning paths. You can kind of flow through them based on role or area that you're trying to learn. And you get, it's fun. You get points, you get badges, you get trophies, you know, makes it interesting. And it's always, and it's, you know, it can, it's very bite-sized, you know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, and then they increment over and kind of a micro learning type of approach. And there's a bunch of the like Power BI, Power Apps out there as well, but you'll see more come from Office 365 and Windows as well. So it'll build out. But I've had a lot of really excited customer meetings here about this.
As somebody who's in the training business, like doing the same thing, I hear you on the whole, like things move so fast. It's hard to keep it updated. It's hard to keep, like, I'm really curious to see where this goes. And like, you know, having like contributors from the outside being able to populate it as well and stuff. So very,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I heard it's also rolling through into things like certifications from Microsoft as well. Mm-hmm. So it's been a problem for a little while that you go sit an exam and then you keep it forever and things change, but you're still
got
certified,
that certification.
Right? And
so
you say 5 years ago I was certified in Azure. And
just a couple of things changed.
And it no longer makes any sense, right?
I'm still an MCDBA for SQL 2007. Yeah, so, I haven't touched SQL in a long time, though.
I think I have my signed certificate from Bill Gates from about 99 or something.
Nice.
But as far as I understand it, certifications will also change in this area as well so that you have to go and keep learning and keep up to date and keep rolling as these technologies just become more and more incrementally updated.
Well, because in the world when we were shipping just an on-premises server and that would stay static at some maybe an SP1, maybe an SP2, but it was reasonably static. Yeah. Where year to year, month to month, at some points things change enough. So yes, we did release our new Azure certifications, and those are things we'll come back a couple times a year and revamp, and then people can kind of recertify. And then Microsoft Learn, we a place where you can get a lot of the capabilities to pass the certification, but always, of course, for those there's in classroom and other learning resources to support that as well.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I perused the bookstore in here and took a look and to see if AC's book was there. That he wrote on web content management years ago, but also just to see what I should be learning about. So, that's great to see. Yeah. Now, we always do something at the end of a show with our guests, and we've learned to warn them.
Especially in the live shows. Especially in the live shows.
We had Scott Guthrie on and we stumped him for a little while, but he came up with a great answer, but he wasn't expecting it and I felt bad. Yeah. So we talked to you a little bit about this.
You warned me.
First.
I was ready.
So if you had a week off and had no other priorities at the time, and you looked at your to-do list and you thought, wow, I'm never going to get to that, but I really want to. Any ideas on what that would be?
Thank you for letting me think about it. I have decided that if I had a week, I want to learn Python because I don't know Python. And I want to. And it's incredibly useful. But then it's a good skill. But then also, so I'm the coach of my son's robotics team.
Wow.
And it's an FLL, it's a Lego, first Lego League kind of program. And they always had their own specific programming language to program the robot. Mm-hmm. But they just opened it up to use Python. And I was like, oh, if I only knew Python. So that's on my list to learn.
Well, we have a friend actually who does AC in particular, who has a course all about learning how to do machine learning and vision with Python.
Oh.
And
maybe
you can take that.
Okay.
I'm sure you can get a couple of free Azure credits.
Probably.
And go do some stuff in Azure with it.
I'll do that.
Any parting thoughts, AC, before we wrap up?
I really appreciate you joining us today.
Absolutely.
This has been really helpful in explaining Azure Sphere to me, especially.
So. Good, I'm so glad.
Yeah, thanks for coming along. We really appreciate the time. We know you're super busy.
Absolutely.
And thanks for coming on the show at Ignite, fourth year, and maybe we'll see you again next year.
Probably. Good chance.
All right, so we'll be back to our regular programming next week. We've got a plethora of great shows coming out over the next couple of weeks with a ton of things from Ignite, great interviews, and we hope to see you all then.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.